I would like to continue with what I've started 2 weeks ago concerning an invitation God made for us to move to a deeper place of embracing understanding and living in the Holy Spirit. And I shared 2 weeks ago about the prophecy, the promise that was made at around 830 BC by the prophet Joel in a time that we know and refer to as the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. He made a very significant promise or prophecy. And that is that one day God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And that your sons, your daughters, they will prophesy and see dreams. And that I will pour out my Spirit even on my male and my female servants. But one day I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And that was quite significant because, like I shared, you know, in the old, there were only one or two individuals per generation on whom God poured out His Spirit. The kings, the priests, the prophets, but no more than two or three individuals per generation God poured out His Spirit upon. And it was clearly evident that these men and women moved by the power and the authority of God. And then this promise came that one day I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And we looked a little bit on that. We also looked at the promise of the Messiah, that God will send a Messiah. And then we looked at the prophet John, who came to prepare the way for the Messiah. And exactly what he did to prepare the way. And also, not just to prepare the way for the Messiah, but also to identify the Messiah to the world. And then last week I shared about the Holy Spirit, and more specifically, the Holy Spirit in the context of church. And what makes it so significant? What is so significant about the Holy Spirit? And the fact that the Holy Spirit was not only significant in the establishment of church, but also in the manifestation of the kingdom of God on earth. Now, if you missed that, I would encourage you to get the CD, because I'm just continuing on that, what God has started to share with us. And this is all in the context of the invitation. The invitation that I felt God laid in my heart for this year, not to do church as an organization, but to do church as the kingdom of God. Not to do church through tradition and systems and structure, but to do church through the power of the Holy Spirit. To trust God, not just for an experience, but to trust God for an encounter with God every Sunday. That when people come from the outside in our midst, that they may truly have an encounter with God. That was the invitation, to move from what we are capable of doing to a place where God moves. Where we move from a place to implement and to do out of our own ability, to move to a place where God comes through His Spirit and empower us to do. In 1 Corinthians 4 verse 20, Paul says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And that's the difference between religion and the kingdom of God. That's the difference between the two. And both John and Jesus preached the same message at the time. They said that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on those 120 and 3,000 people got saved. It's interesting, through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people got saved. So the Holy Spirit, in the context of what I shared last time, was a sign to John, the prophet, that came to prepare the way for the Messiah. It was a sign for him to identify the Messiah. We read in John chapter 1 that it says that even though the world was created through the Word that became flesh were not known by the world. Even though the world was created by it, it was not known by it. So the prophet came not just to prepare the way, but also to identify the Messiah. And that's why John said that the one who sent me to baptize also told me, the one of whom you see the Spirit come down and remain on him, he is the Son of God. And John said that I did not know who he was, except this one thing, that the one who sent me to baptize told me that when I see the Holy Spirit come down and remain on someone, that is the Messiah. That is my son. And so John testified freely that this is the Son of God, because I saw, this is the testimony, I saw the Holy Spirit come down and remain upon him. So the Holy Spirit was a sign to John to identify the Messiah. But then also John said something about the Messiah. He said that he is the one that will take away the sin of the world, but also be the one who actually baptized in the Holy Spirit. And again referring to this great promise that one day God will pour out His Spirit on all men. And so it was that when Pentecost happened, when the Holy Spirit came down, it was a sign, again, that Jesus was truly the Son of God. Because not only was He filled with the Holy Spirit, He also fulfilled through the Holy Spirit. So the coming of the Holy Spirit was significant, not just to identify who the Son of God is, but also to prove that He actually was the Son of God. And that's why 3,000 men and more women and children got saved. We don't know about the women and children, but it mentioned about the men. And in the times, they only did count the men. So there were most probably more. But because of the sign, it was evident that Jesus truly was the Son of God. Now, the Holy Spirit today is still the sign to answer the question on who are the children of God. The sign is still the same today. It is the Holy Spirit. The question, who is the true God? The sign, the answer to that is still today the Holy Spirit. But tonight I want to take it a little bit further. As we looked at the Holy Spirit in context of church and the kingdom, I want to take it further to how does this apply to me as an individual? How does it apply to you as a believer? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, we read the following. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Now, that's an amazing scripture, and it says a lot, and I dealt somewhat about it last time. But everyone who believes, everyone who surrenders their life to the Lordship of Christ, receives the Holy Spirit. That is what scripture says. Having believed, you were sealed with a sign of the promised Holy Spirit. So whenever someone surrenders their life to God, embraces Christ with faith, he receives the Holy Spirit. And I preached a lot about that last year, the whole fact that we used to be in Adam. We used to be caught in our sinful nature under the power of sin. And then through faith, by grace, we are born again from this place of being trapped in Adam to a place called in Christ. What Scripture talks about all the time. And this whole process of being trapped in our sinful nature, in Adam, and then through faith, being regenerated, born again, in Christ, becoming a new creation. This whole process of being born again is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that takes us who were dead in our trespasses and makes us alive together with Christ Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that does that. So whenever an unbeliever comes to faith and embraces God and the gift of God, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and regenerates him, brings forth new life. It is called the process of being born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So unless you move from this place of being in the flesh, controlled by sin and your sinful nature, unless you are born again, you cannot come into the kingdom of God. So he continues in verse 5 to 6. He said, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and of the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit." So that's why Jesus said you must be born again. Because whatever is there cannot come in the presence of God. But this whole process is done by the Spirit of God. Now through this process, of being born again, God Himself imparts eternal life into the heart of the believer. And through this whole process, we become a new creation in Christ. And we become children of God. That is everything that takes place through this born again experience. That is done by the Holy Spirit that comes upon us. So whenever anyone believes, he receives the Holy Spirit. Okay, do you still follow me? Okay. The recognition or the regeneration of a person, this whole process of being born again, is necessary. It is essential because as an unsaved person, driven by our sinful nature under the power of sin, we are incapable of pleasing God. We are incapable of following God. Something needs to take place for us to enable us to follow God. And that's why we need to be born again. Because as an unsaved person, we are still controlled by our sinful nature and incapable of obeying and pleasing God. Romans 8, verse 6 to 8 says the following. It says, the mind of the sinful man is death, and the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind, the sinful mind, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So we need to be born again. We need to be regenerated. We need to be recreated into this new creation. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14 it says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him and cannot understand them because they must be spiritually discerned. So that's why you must be born again. One of the reasons. So those who are born again are set free from the power of sin, and they receive a spiritual desire. We all receive a spiritual desire and disposition to love God and to follow the Holy Spirit. We who are born again cannot make sin a habit in our life. It cannot be a habitual practice in our life anymore. Once when we were caught up here in our sinful nature, you know what? We could keep on sinning and it didn't bother us. But once you are born again, you cannot continue here anymore because there's something within you that has changed. I don't know if you've noticed. But it's all of a sudden as if your conscience becomes alive and there's something within you that kind of resists the fact to continue here. As soon as you end up here, there's something that says, you know what, where you're here, it's not right. You cannot be here. You shouldn't be here. You should be there. You need to change. You see, so when we get saved, you know, we cannot continue there. Because something has changed within us. But I'll leave that for some other time. Last week I also shared about the fact that the Holy Spirit is not just a force that comes upon us. He is actually a person. He's part of the Godhead. He has feelings. He has a personality. He has a role. He is a person. It's not a force. And sometimes we think the Holy Spirit is like a puppet master. That once, you know, it's a force that comes upon us and then controls us. And that's not who the Holy Spirit is. He's not a force, he's a person. So yes, it is He who lives in us and through His power we are born again. But He is not a force that controls. He is a person to which we relate. In the same way we relate to the Father and the Son, we also relate to the Holy Spirit. And so many believers today, even charismatics, relate to the Holy Spirit as a force that came upon me the day that I was baptized or whatever, or filled with the Holy Spirit, and changed me. Yes, He did change you when you came to faith, but He's not a force that controls you like a puppet master. He is a person. Galatians 5 verse 25 says the following, if we live by the Spirit, we must also keep in step with the Spirit. If we have been made alive because of the Spirit, and we have a life, because we're no longer part of death, remember, but life and peace. Now, if we live by the Holy Spirit, if we've been regenerated, transformed by the Holy Spirit, we should also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. To live in the Spirit speaks about the fact that we have been regenerated, and we have become a new creation. To keep in step with the Holy Spirit speaks about having a relationship with Him. Willingly yielding my life to His control. Keeping in step with Him. Now, who of you have been in cadets before? Like, you know, in school, where you march? Who of you have marched before? Okay, can I have two volunteers? Okay, Mama, you've marched. Good. Anyone else? Another one. Three people. Okay, I want you to stand here. I'm going to show you what it means to keep... Whoop, Mama. Keep in step. It's wet there. That's out of step. Face that way. Can I have another volunteer? Anyone? There we go. No. This way. No, stand still, Mama. There we go. Or maybe we can even do it one behind the other. That's very clever. It's going to work better. Okay. You remember how you march? With which foot do you start? Left foot, eh? Yeah, it's left foot. Okay. So whatever happens, start with your left foot. Right. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Okay. Left, right, left, right, left, right. Right, left, right, left. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Forward. March. Left, right, left, right, left, right. You must be right, left, right, left. Okay. You see, if you're out of step, it's quite obvious. Right. Scripture says that, listen here, we who are alive in Christ, we who live because of the Spirit, now that we live because of the Spirit, we also need to keep in step with the Spirit. Because we can be alive in the Spirit. We can be saved, regenerated, a new creation, and go our own way. Go our own pace in our own direction. But the invitation and the challenge is that, listen here, now that you live because of the Holy Spirit, you also need to relate to Him. You also need to know Him. You also need to follow Him. And keep in step with Him. Keep in His rhythm. Go where He goes. At the pace that He goes. Not just go your own way. And so many times as Christians, we have our 5-year plan and our 10-year plan. And many times we believe that is where God wants us to. And I'll get to that. But the Word says this in here, we also need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Because remember, He is the Counselor, the Comforter, the Teacher. And yes, sometimes we really believe that this is where God wants us to do, but God also wants us to keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, have a relationship with Him as the mentor in our life. And that sometimes is a challenge. Because in doing that, He might say, yes, where you were going was great, but I actually want to go somewhere else. As a matter of fact, I want to go somewhere. I am going somewhere else. And I want you to follow me. So keeping in step with the Holy Spirit is not always easy. And I have to say it now already. It is a challenge. Because from time to time, He might go somewhere else. We were going here very well, very strong, very blessed. And then He moves that way. And sometimes where He moves, we don't even know where that is. But the Word of God says, listen here, because we live by the Holy Spirit, we should also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And it's about that I want to share with you. He is our counselor, our mentor, our comforter, our teacher. John 16, verse 12 to 13, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you. But you cannot bear them now, speaking to His disciples. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. Jesus speaks to His disciples, says, listen here guys, I have still so much that I want to impart into your life. But right now, you're not ready. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He will continue with what I have done. He will take you and guide you into all truth. There are many things that you still do not understand. But when He comes, He will take you and guide you into all truth. So, keep in step with Him. Because He will guide you. Not just live by, but have a relationship with, willingly yielding your life, following Him. As the counselor, the helper, the comforter, the mentor. That is why He's come. He has come to continue what Christ has started. That's why Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. so that he can come. In Romans 8, verse 11 to 14, we read again the same concept about living in the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. It says here, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. We have an obligation. But it is not to our sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the bodies, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Those who are led by. Those who follow. Those who keep in step with. Do you see that? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to follow you. I want to surrender my life to you and to your guidance, to your mind. How does this look? I just want to show you in context of the Scripture. I want to make it a little bit more practical. How does it look to keep in step with the Holy Spirit? How does that manifest? Because one of the things that I really feel God has been showing me through the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is not just something deep down in our hearts. The kingdom of God is not something hidden away. It is power. It is a manifestation. You know what? At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit manifested and 3,000 people got saved. Not 3,000 other Christians came together. No, 3,000 unbelievers got saved. And right throughout the Scripture, you see, it is the manifestation of the power of God that changes. It is not the secret, inward, hidden away Holy Spirit somewhere there. I was saved 10 years ago. It is actually the Holy Spirit manifest. And now I want to show you, move a little bit closer where we looked at the bigger picture of the Holy Spirit in the church and the kingdom of God. I want us to look at how does this work here in my life today? What does that mean? What does it mean to keep in step with the Holy Spirit? And not just what does it mean, how does it look? How does it manifest? Now, let's look in context what Scripture was saying. It says, so I say, Galatians 15 verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, first of all, if you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, you know what? You will no longer be here. That's the first step. That's the basic. You will not continue in your old ways, in your sinful ways. You will no longer do those things. That's kind of obvious. Okay, but it's important to say that. To keep in step with the Holy Spirit, how does it look? How does it manifest? It doesn't look like this. I no longer continue in the sinful things. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another. So you cannot do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there are no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit will manifest and in a certain way. It will show. The Bible calls it fruit. the result of, the manifestation of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Not just living by, but really keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Yielding to His mentorship. Having a relationship with Him where you allow Him to take hold of you and mentor you into life, into all truth. When you're in that place, certain things will outwardly manifest. It will change you. I'll get back to that. But you will see love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You will not see fits of rage, anger, divisions, envy, divisions. Those things, that's not it. What you do see is the love, the joy, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the patience, the self-control. That is what will manifest. That is an outward manifest. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Bible calls it the fruit. But the fruit simply means that is the result of keeping in step with. So if you want to know how does it look to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, how would you know and how would others know it is the love, the joy, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control that manifests in your life? It's not a spiritual concept or a Illuminati or illumination of, you know, a deeper understanding of God. It is a practical manifestation in our lives. Growing in the Holy Spirit starts with a relationship with Him where He can change us. Okay, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit simply means I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit where He changes me. Where I become more like Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit came. To transform us from glory to glory into the image of God by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the one that takes us from where we're at, a new creation, and walks this road with us like a mentor, teaching us what it means to live life in Christ. And He's the one that transforms us in our character, our nature, to become more like Christ. That is the Holy Spirit. It's not limited to the love, the peace, the joy. The Holy Spirit is the one that transforms us into the likeness of Christ. So, you know, if you're sarcastic, the Holy Spirit is the one that will say, you know what, we need to change that. Or if you speak too much, He'll say, you know what, let's talk about that. Or if you gossip, or whatever. You know, He's the one that will come and He will tell you, okay, now let's change this. Let me help you to change. And keeping in step with Him is when we say, yes, Lord, here I am. I pray that You'll help me to change. That is what it means to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And it manifests. It manifests. And all this that I'm sharing now, that is before we get to the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm not even talking about those things. I'm just talking about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we make a big whoa. But you know what? The basics. It's, you know, everything about God is very simple. It's about a relationship. It's not about the things that you can do, the tricks, and the, yeah, you know what I mean? It's about a relationship with God. That's what God is after. That relationship will change you to become more like Christ. And that will manifest. It's not super spiritual. It's simple. That is what it means to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Having a mentor in your life and the fruit of having a mentor in your life. That is part of the invitation I really believe God is laying before us. It's where I come to God and say, God, I thank You for giving me Your Son that I may have life and that You've given me Your Holy Spirit to finish Your work. But I'm not there yet. I have mistakes and flaws and issues and hang-ups and distractions in my life. But I thank you that you have made yourself available to mentor me, to change me, to teach me what it means. Who of you saw Karate Kid? You were all pagans, hey? No. That's okay. What was the Karate Kid's mentor's name? Mr. Miyagi. Okay. Whatever. He was the mentor. The little boy knew nothing. The mentor knew everything. He came to him and said, listen here, teach me. Teach me. And he said, all right, wax on, wax off. No, that doesn't make sense because that's no kicking and punching. No, wax on, wax off. But this is a process of imparting to you life or skills or whatever it might be. The Holy Spirit is a mentor. He's not a force. He's a person which we need to relate to. And He's there to transform us. And we need to yield to Him. We need to come to Him and say, Lord, here I am. I want to surrender my life to You. Holy Spirit, come and do in me. I surrender my life. Show me the things. You see, God relates to us differently because we are all different. God made us that way, unique. And we were born in different homes, in different circumstances. We faced different challenges and hurts and pains that shaped us differently. In short, we've got different issues. But the Holy Spirit, God is not intimidated by that. He has the Holy Spirit who wants to take us where we're at and change us. And we can come to Him and say, Lord, this is where I'm at. And He will come and speak to you. If you make yourself available and say, Lord, I want to be changed. I thank you that you've come to lead me, to teach me. I struggle, God. I do not know these things. I don't know how it works. I have weaknesses and failings and distractions. Help me. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. And then He will respond to you. He will show you, okay, we need to start with this in your life. And then He will help you. If you say, Lord, I speak too much. And then the Holy Spirit will start taking your hand. And every time you speak too much, He will come and say, that was now just too much. Or that is now sarcasm. That needs to change. And then He will start helping you to change. Say, no, this is what you need to do. That's how He will do it differently to you because you have different issues. But the Holy Spirit is a mentor that's there to walk this road with us, to change us. But we need to yield ourselves to Him. And as we do so, it will manifest through various ways. And that is part of the invitation. It's just to yield to the Holy Spirit. That's where it starts. And we have not spoken about the gifts and the callings and all those things. We're just talking about the very basic saying, where are you going, Lord? I want to keep in step with you. I want to embrace you. I want to follow you. Because, you know, I must be careful now. But, you know, sometimes we jump to all these things and we haven't got this right. This causes the gifts and the power and all those things, you know, that can cause lots of confusion and hurt and pain if we're not in step here. Because sometimes we do stuff in presumption and all kinds of things. And sometimes we take it in a whole different direction where it's not meant to be. And you know, I'm not going to use examples. But you see some churches, you have some weird things going on. And then they said it's the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying it is and it isn't. But I'm saying, you know, the Holy Spirit is going in a direction. And sometimes we are going in a different direction. And before we go now and boldly take on the powers and the principalities, we first need to do the basics, and that is just to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said something interesting in Luke chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. He said, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with careful observation. Nor will people say, here it is, there it is, at Drake House, in shofar. No, because the kingdom of God is within you. You see, the kingdom of God starts within you. Before we go and we run out in Wimbledon and in London and in this nation to extend the kingdom of God, we must understand that the kingdom of God starts within us. And the kingdom of God, you know, it's so simple. A kingdom has a king. It doesn't have a board or a parliament. A kingdom has a king. Okay, the king has absolute rule. The kingdom of a king only extends as far as his rule and influence. You see, where the king's rule and influence ends, there his kingdom ends. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God starts within you, within me. And before we go and extend the kingdom out there, we must first have the kingdom come in us. And the kingdom is only as far as God has rule and influence. And that's why I say we need to first come in step with the Holy Spirit, that He will take us, change us, influence us, rule us. Have the kingdom come in our life first. Before we go running out and taking on the powers and the principalities. The kingdom of God starts within you because He is the living power of God inside of you. But we need to keep in step with Him so that He can guide us. And that's all I want to share tonight. The kingdom of God starts within you. And the Holy Spirit is the mentor who has been given to us so that the kingdom can come within us, so that we can be changed into the image. You know what, this world, I spoke to a Christian last week, and I was actually a bit shocked because there was no love, no grace, no mercy, no self-control. And it's not because the guy's not saved. There was just no Christ-likeness. He was just not in step with the Holy Spirit. You see, when the world is in a situation where everybody is panicking and swearing and going nuts with frustration, you know what? What the world needs, the sign of who was the Son of God was the Holy Spirit. And the sign on who was the real God was the Holy Spirit. It is the same sign today. When the world is going nuts, and there's somebody who has love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, without end. You know, that is a sign. That is a sign to this world. It is a sign to the world who the children of God is. It is a sign. If the world asks, who are the children of God? They're not going to look at the guy that swears and loses his temper. And you know what I'm saying? And the sign of who is the true God is the same sign. If we live our lives with joy and love and peace and gentleness and kindness and self-control consistently, it is a sign. It is a sign to the world. Not just who the children of God is, but who is the true God. It is a sign. Sometimes I am ashamed when I look at other religions and how their followers live their lives in comparison to us. Keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. The invitation to move to a deeper place, to surrender more, to go deeper, starts simply with surrendering to the mentorship of the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want you to teach me. God, I want to keep in step with you, and I want to follow your direction. And that at times is difficult because the Holy Spirit may go in a different direction than where we used to be going, or that we thought we should be going. And yes, that is difficult and that is scary. But you know what? That is part of the process of being changed. That is part of the invitation. And sometimes we come to that place where we need to choose. Yes, Lord, I am going to follow you. And I am going to deny myself. I'm going to die to my dreams, my desires if need be. And I'm going to follow you. But that's part of discipleship. That is part of growing. That is part of becoming more like Christ. At some point, we all need to take up our cross and follow Him. Follow Him. So I have to add this in, that this is not just all roses, but moonshine and roses. But it's great when you come to that place and you are in step with the Holy Spirit. That is the invitation God is giving to me and to you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that when the Father asked you to be that sacrifice for us, you did not see equality with God as something to hold on to, but that you willingly humbled yourself to become a servant. And God, that you were willing to take our sin and our shame and our guilt upon yourself and become sin and face your Father and the consequences of it. And you did all of that, God, to deal with everything that prevents us from knowing the Father and becoming a child in His house, a son in His house. And after you've dealt with everything that kept us from, you send your Spirit so that we can have life, that we can be changed, that we can be transformed, that we can grow in our understanding and relationship and union with the Father, that we may have the fullness of what you have, that we may share, God, in your greatest asset, and that is knowing the Father. That we also will be able to come to a place where we say and we do what we hear and say, you do. And God, you've given us the Holy Spirit so that we can keep in step with your heart. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son and sending your Spirit until your work on earth is done. And God, help us not to be afraid to surrender our life to you and to follow you, even though it will lead us into that what the world might seem as foolish. Even though it might lead us to turn our back on secular wisdom. Even though it might lead us to be different. But God, you called us to be different. God, help us in our unbelief, in our carnality of our thinking and our fears and our concerns. God, help us. But I thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit. And as we ask you, God, you will respond and you will help us as we heal to you. God, and tonight, we just want to take hold of the opportunity and respond to the invitation to be mentored by you. Into becoming the fullness of life that you have presented us through your Son. That we may take hold of everything that Christ you've come to establish, everything that you have paid for so dearly. God, that we'll take hold of everything that you've purchased, not just half of it, but everything of it. God, I would just want to thank you, God, for the opportunity, for the invitation. And God, I pray that as we come before you and as we respond to you, God, that you will open our eyes of our understanding, that you will show us the mysteries of the kingdom. God, that you will open our eyes that we may see eternity and the temple for what it is. God, that you will teach us, God, like you promised, all things. That we will need no one to teach us because you will teach us. So I want to give each one of you, as we are sitting here right now, just an opportunity to respond in your own heart to the Word of God. Just speak to Him about the invitation. Just maybe want to share something that I believe God wants me to share. You know, sometimes as believers we fall, we fail. And then we are stricken by guilt and shame because we have made a mistake or we have fallen backwards. You know, God is not intimidated. He has already picked you. He has already taken you from the hole that you were in and cleansed you. He's picked you up. He picked you. And He has poured out His Spirit within you and invested everything within you. And He has committed to see the process that He began in you completed. And God is not intimidated by our weaknesses and our distractions. God is not intimidated by that. We just need to keep on running towards Him and not away from Him. You know, we sang that song, God, glorify your name. You know, when God's name gets glorified the most is when a sinner repents. You know, when God's name gets glorified the most is when somebody that was trapped in sin embraces the gift of God, the sacrifice. God gave everything, humbled Himself to go through the cross, which we will never understand. But whenever somebody takes hold of that sacrifice, take hold of it, you know, God is glorified because it means that sacrifice was worth it. I mean, that sacrifice is actually manifesting. It's actually bringing forth what it's meant to do. It's actually meant to take us from a pit into a place of a right relationship with God. And the devil is very clever, but I want to tell you, that's one of the greatest ways God is glorified, is when we embrace His grace and His mercy. Yes, He's also glorified when we manifest Him through us. But He's also glorified when we come to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. I've messed up. Help. God is glorified because that means that sacrifice is working. It was worth it. That's why Scripture says that even if we fall, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. and cleanses of all unrighteousness. So I want to encourage you. God is not intimidated by the process. He knows where you're at. That's the great thing about God. He knows me better than I know myself. And He's still committed to me. He must either be crazy or He must be who He says it is. Unconditional love. And God is committed to this process. We only need to respond. We only need to yield our life to Him. And He will take us with our stubbornness and with our issues. And He will take us by hand and say, "That's okay. Don't worry about that. I know how to deal with your anger. I know how to deal with your fear. I know how to deal with your unbelief. I know how to deal with these things. Just allow me to walk with you." That's the God who we serve. It's an amazing God. He never leaves us in the pitiful state we're in, because He loves us. Yeah, when you have children, you'll understand that. You only want the best for your kid. And if you have brand new clothes, why would you allow your kid to walk with dirty, filthy clothes for days? You don't do that. You pick them up, you wash them, you put on new clothes, then they wet themselves and they make them nappy and they do all kinds of other nice, disgusting stuff. But you know what? That's okay. Let's change it. So God relates to us like that. He wants us to relate to Him like that, a Father that loves us. And He's given us His Holy Spirit to help us to become that what He desires us to be. Just yield to Him. Just yield to Him. Do we have communion? Okay. We can pass that on. Let's just take a moment and thank God for His love and His patience. Man, God has patience. That's the amazing thing about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is we become more like God. And sometimes when I counsel, you know, sometimes you think, man, why this person again? It's going to come with the same issues again. And I don't know what to tell him anymore. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to see him again. But then I'm just reminded of God's patience with me. The same love, the same patience, the same grace that God has towards us through keeping in step with the Holy Spirit will manifest through us. And you will be able to love people unconditionally. You will be able to have patience unendingly. You will be able to have joy no matter what the situation. And kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Everything that we love of God, God wants to manifest through us. And that's not a force. It's a relationship that changes us. And through that, we change those around us. Let's just take a moment and thank God. Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Lord, thank you for humbling yourself that we may have life. Thank you for taking on all our weaknesses and our sins and our shame, our guilt, our sinful nature. Upon yourself, God. And dealing with it. Giving it what it rightfully deserves. Through your Son. So we do not get what we deserve. Father, we may not forget your sacrifice. Let us eat together. Lord, thank you for your blood that was shed for us. The sacrifice made for us that we might have life. That we may stand in a new covenant with you. Not of the law, but of the Spirit. That we may have the Spirit of God within us that calls out and testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And that we can come to you as children. Thank you that you have not left us as orphans, but you've given us your Spirit that we may walk this walk with you, God. This process of being transformed, changed. God, as we yield to you today, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will change us. We surrender to you. We say, God, here I am, change me. Teach me, God. Show me your ways. Teach me to keep in step with you. Change me, God. In Jesus' name.